إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, I want to remind myself and you about the importance of agriculture. And agriculture, I believe, is something that should be the part of the upbringing of every child. And it should be the part of the curriculum of every school. There are several good reasons for it. We had that in our school, we had agriculture. I don't know when you were there, whether they were still there or not. We have ploughed fields and grown crops and threshed crops and we've done all that. There are several reasons why agriculture is important, because agriculture gives us learnings about tawakkul, it gives us learning about tarbiyah, it gives us learning about the understanding of the concept of qadar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the destiny of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it gives us the concept of investing in the akhirah. There are four major reasons why we should do agriculture. I mean, I am using agriculture as the analogy for it, but this is what we learn. So the first thing that we understand from agriculture, if you look at how it is done, when you first go to the field, all you have is a piece of ground, piece of land. That's it. That piece of land has rocks in it and, you know, thorns in it, and the pH values, we don't know what that is. When you check that, you find that maybe the right value may not be the right value, maybe too acidic, too alkaline. The land might have pests in it, it might have various kinds of insects in it, all kinds of things. So the first thing that the farmer does is to prepare the land, right? First thing. So he ploughs the land, he removes all the rocks and all the thorn trees and so on from the land. He makes the soil friable, he makes it, he breaks up the clods and so on and so forth. He tests the soil, he takes soil samples, depending on the content of the soil, what is the organic content in the soil. If that is less, he will put organic manures. If the pH value of the soil is too acidic, then he will put some lime to bring it down, make it more alkaline. If it is too alkaline, then he will put some, potassium chloride or something into it, or potassium nitrate, whatever, different kinds of things. He puts that. If there are any pests and diseases, he deals with that. Right. So he does all of this. He prepares the entire land. Once the land is prepared, then the farmer plants the seed. When the land is prepared, he is no longer thinking about the land, he is thinking about the kind of seed. Is it a good seed, bad seed, what seed? How is it to be planted? What is the methodology of planting the seed? What is the timing for planting the seed? The farmer will not prepare the land and then plant the seed in the middle of summer. He will not do that. So, the kind of land, which is the preparation of the land, the quality of the seed, the timing of the seed, and how the seed is to be planted. Not everything is planted in the same way. In some cases, you scatter the seed. In other cases, you have to individually plant each seed. You have to individually plant each seed at a certain depth. If you plant a seed 6 feet into the ground, nothing will happen. It will rot. If you plant it too shallow, then birds will eat it. So there is a particular depth at which you have to plant the seed. Sometimes the seed has to be treated before it is planted. If you just plant the seed by itself, it won't germinate. So it has to be treated. Different kinds of treatment. There's some treatment with boiling water, there's some treatment with some pesticides and so on and so forth before it's spread. And after the planting of the seed is done, then the farmer waters the seed. He doesn't water the land before the planting, because then he will just create slush. That again, however, depends on the kind of thing he is planting. Because if he is planting rice, then he will water it before, because it is planted in slush. In some cases, the seed is planted in a nursery bed, and this happens in rice, for example. Seeds are planted in nursery beds, and then there is transplantation. So once the seed germinates and the plant grows to a certain height, then you pull it out of that and you take it and put it into the real field, which is an individual hand job. You would have seen in rice paddies how they do the transplantation. You stand there and individually you put each. If you just take rice and scatter it, nothing will happen. Something will happen, it will grow, but you won't get any decent crop. Now, the reason I am explaining all of this in so much detail is because this is related to how we acquire knowledge of Islam. Teaching and learning. From the teacher's perspective, it is important first to prepare the soil, which is get the minds of the people, of the students, create a love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in them. Create a reason to learn. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu hal adullukum ala tijaratin tunjikum min azabin aleem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, should I show you a trade? Should I show you a business which will save you from grievous punishment? This is preparing of the soil. Because why is Allah asking this? It's a rhetorical question. Why is Allah asking this question? To draw our attention to the importance of learning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said what he wanted to say, which is the rest of the ayat in Surah Saf. Allah would have said it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not just say it. He didn't simply scatter the seed. No matter how good the seed is, if the soil is not prepared, it will go to waste. So this is a very important part of teaching and learning. Prepare the soil. From the learner's perspective, when you go to learn, when you approach the Quran, when you approach the Hadith, when you go to a teacher, go with yourself prepared to learn. Don't go there to judge the teacher. Is he a good speaker or a bad speaker? No, you are not going for that reason. You are not going to give the speaker a certificate. If you look at what most people say, so and so is a wonderful speaker. So what? What did you get from that person? If that person is a good speaker or a bad speaker, it has no meaning. That's not for you to see. For you to see is, what did I get? And what you got will depend on how prepared you were when you went there. So prepare yourself before you go there. Second thing is the quality of what you are learning. And that is why it's very important. Many people in Islam, they get confused because they go to the wrong sources. Or they go to too many sources and they get themselves confused. So it is very important who you take your deen from. And I have a very simple criteria. And my criteria is, do not take deen from somebody who is not practicing what he is saying. Simple as that. Right? I am not saying don't take deen from someone who did not go to Darul Uloom Deoband, or don't take deen from someone who did not go to Jamia Islamiyah Madina Munawwara. No. Do not take deen from somebody who does not practice it himself. So before you go and listen to a teacher, do some investigation, find out. If this person is speaking about tawakkul, is he teaching without taking money, or is he taking money and teaching and discarding courses and teaching courses depending on their popularity? So how can someone who is rooted in the dunya teach about tawakkul? From where will he, how does he know? He's talking theory, who cares? That's like MBA programs, taught by people who never did any business in their lives. That's why I say MBA is the most useless degree you can possibly get. MBA is taught, which MBA professor do you know is a businessman? Nobody. So how do you teach about business? So don't do that. Take deen from people who are practicing what they tell you. That is the seed. And the third and most important thing is the watering of the seed. You can prepare the land perfectly, you can plant the best seed, but if you don't water it, it will die. It will not germinate. And what is the watering of the seed in the context of learning? Tears. Tears before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The water for learning, the seed of learning is watered by the tears before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The tears of the teacher for the student and the tears of the student for himself and for the teacher. Praying tahajjud and crying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open your heart to Himself and His glory and majesty and to open your heart to learning. This is the root of germination of that seed. In the case of deen, the seed is the best because it is the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But without the tears, won't germinate. Nothing will happen. You will get the words of the Quran, you will get the usul of tajweed, you will be able to recite it, but it will not go down below your throat. You will be like a parrot or you will be like a singer who is singing a song, who does not understand the language that he or she is singing in. There are many such singers who sing very well, but they don't understand what they are singing. Many of them are there. They have memorized the words and they know the tune, so they sing. But you ask them what, because then you see when they are singing, there is no effect on them. They are singing some ashar of great pathos and tragedy and there is a smile on their face. So how do you do that? Because you don't understand what you are saying, something. And that is what happens to us. That is what happens to us as far as deen is concerned. So, standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the deen is from Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hidayat is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For it to come into our hearts, that is the key. Which is the tears before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what teaches one of the lessons. I mean, inshallah, biznillahi ta'ala, there are more lessons. But this one is, as far as tawakkul is concerned, prepare the land, meaning prepare yourself. Plant the seed, right seed in the right way from the right source. And then cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Weep your tears before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah for His mercy and grace to open the heart for the seed to germinate. And then what does the farmer do? Then the farmer protects that seed. He protects the plant. He doesn't just let the plant germinate and then, you know, goats are grazing and cows are eating it and birds are eating it. And no, he protects it. How many times those of you who have gone to the... That's why we should spend time in villages. You will see farmers, they will sleep in the field in the night. They build a small little machan, the fellow is sleeping there, freezing cold. Freezing cold. And then he doesn't simply sleep there. Every little while, he will wake up and he will shout and he will beat one drum or rattle some stones in a can or something, because wild boar, wild animals. So they come and graze. Now he can't see what is happening, so sometimes he just makes a noise so they run away. He's protecting. So when you say he's sleeping, he's actually not sleeping. No, he's taking some cat naps, but he's awake all night to protect that crop. Now bring it to the deen. We learn the deen and then what do? Then you spend your time in haram places with haram people. I mean, people are not haram, I'm saying their actions. So what happens now? What you learnt is getting contaminated. It's getting destroyed. Sohbat is very important. I mean, the company you have is very, very important. You are sitting in the company of the wrong kind of people, you will do wrong things. Even if you do not do wrong things, your time gets wasted. So it is very important to protect that seed. You learned, you got the knowledge, now protect this knowledge. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. Don't read wrong things. Don't look at wrong things. Don't listen to wrong things. Don't be with wrong kind of people. Don't be in wrong kind of company. Don't waste your time. Spend your time in things which are, which will support what learning you got. So practicing that learning If you learn something, immediately practicing it. That practice is what makes permanent. Practice does not make perfect. Practice makes permanent. That is the reason why correct practice is very important. If you practice something in the wrong way, it becomes permanent in the wrong way. I mean, in golf, for example, if you don't get your style of the shot, of the stroke correctly, then you'll be digging up the earth all the time. You won't hit the ball. So it's very important to get the right one. Because if you're doing it the wrong way, then that wrong way becomes permanent. Many people, for example, if you in public speaking, they have, they use, you know, we call them non-words. So, ah, ooh, and all these vague sounds. Or they have what in Urdu we call takiya kalam, which is in Shairi and all that. You know, they say some word which you use all the time. Some people use, you know. I would say, oh, you know. And I don't know, tell me. Why am I asking you? So many people have these things. If you record yourself, then you can pick up these things. What do you say? Yeah? I mean, you know, jo hai jiho bolte. Acha hai, it's good. But I mean, like if you watch this conversation, in 10 minutes he would have said jiho maybe 50 times. Jiho, my kara, jiho, my kara. Acha kare, good, positive outlook. But I'm saying that you might want to say, why do I want to say jiho so many times? So this is because of, that has become permanent. Unconsciously, something crept in. I mean, this is not a bad thing, it's okay. But sometimes it's very funny. So when you are speaking, people get hooked on to now counting how many times this fellow is saying this. So your message is lost. He's not listened to what you are saying. He's only stuck, his mind is gone stuck somewhere else. So all of this is, so therefore it's very important, practice what you have learnt, practice it and protect it. Because all that knowledge and all of that will get wasted, your crop will get wasted, you prepared the land, you planted a seed, you watered it and so on and so forth, beautiful standing crop, you come back next morning, you find everything is destroyed because in the night wild animals came and ate it or something or some disease. You know, because you did not take, you didn't protect it. So protecting what we have as the asset is very, very important. So these are the four steps. Inshallah, bismillah ta'ala, we'll see what else tomorrow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes us to learn. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahim.